This morning, if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to the James letter. And we want to continue our study through James. And we're looking at James chapter 1. And we'll begin at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Father, help us to understand the importance of the gospel. And Lord, as we look at your word this morning, may we understand that there are many who would come to present a different gospel. But Father, you have revealed to us the truth. And you have told us that the truth shall set us free. Lord, may we look at your word and may we understand the tremendous blessing that you have revealed to us. And Father, I pray that you just open our hearts to hear it. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. James is writing, this is the early church was mainly Jewish. And we understand that in the letters that Paul has written to the church that the Jews had many doctrines that didn't hold to the preaching of the gospel. They didn't believe in Jesus. The Orthodox Jews today still don't accept Jesus. But the early church was Jewish because the majority of the people that had come to accept Christ were Jewish. But the Jewish religion itself had rejected Jesus. And we see here that James opens this portion in verse 16 of this the letter, this paragraph, with the term, he says, but not err. Another term here could be, but don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. He's telling them that there's deception that's coming, and the deception has to deal with the gospel. And that's all Satan has always desired, is to separate men from God, that they would not come to the Lord on God's terms, that they somehow think that they could establish their own terms, that they could really, as he attempted to do in the Garden of Eden, where he said that they could eat of the tree of good and knowledge, and that they could gain the knowledge, and they could be as God. And he desired to be as God, and it's been the lie from the beginning. The scriptures are very clear to us. God has established the means by which men can approach him and come to him, and there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. And James is writing and he's saying here, don't be deceived. Jesus said that one of the great marks of the last days was going to be deception. Today we live in a world that is totally deceived, the world itself. It's always been deceived, but it seems to be growing further and further from any acknowledgement of truth. And they're embracing every lie that comes down the pike and embracing that as truth when it is nothing but lies. And that has been Satan's goal all the time, to get men to turn from the absolutes of God and the character of God, the holiness and righteousness that is found in God, and embrace the ungodliness that he espouses. James is warning, he's saying, don't be deceived. He's just got done telling us about trials and tribulations and temptations that would come to believers, that we weren't to fall for them, and now he's saying, do not be deceived when you're coming to the point of understanding where you are in your relationship to God through Christ Jesus. Don't be deceived by a different gospel, and don't be deceived to follow a different God. Let's take a look at these verses and see exactly what he's talking about. Jump ahead to verse 18. James shares with us there what God has established for us. It says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. I want you to understand, it was by the will of God that you and I are sitting here today, because apart from that, if we left to our own devices, we'd be out sinning and rebelling against God the way that we were before we came to know Jesus. But when did the will of God determine that men should come to know Christ? Was it something that God wrung his hands after Adam sinned and in the Garden of Eden and is going, oh my, what am I going to do now? No. Before God created the world, we saw last week and we established that as the Apostle Paul says, as also James reaffirms here, it was God's intent and God's will that men would be redeemed and spend eternity with Him, that they would have fellowship with Him, that they would bring glory to His name, and that this was the point of why you and I were created. And that God created us in His image for a purpose, that we could reflect His glory, that we could have fellowship with Him, and that we could be called His sons and daughters. So before the world was created, before He created man, He had established a means by which He would redeem man when man rebelled against Him. God, knowing the beginning from the end, knew that man would rebel, and He made a means of redemption. And so it's by the will of God that you're sitting here this morning. There's a lot of people, and I've shared this with you before, they say, well, you can go and you can witness to them and you can share the gospel with them. And they say, well, I want to live and rebel and I want to do the things I want to do and to follow the word of God and to live by that. Well, that's too confining to my style. And what I'm going to do is I'll just wait until I die. Well, God doesn't tell us that we have that opportunity. He never tells us that we're going to have an opportunity to accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And that wasn't His intent, that we could have a whole bunch of deathbed confessions and live our whole life in rebellion against Him. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came, as we see here, and died on the cross for the will of God, that you and I could be saved for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring glory to God. We don't bring glory to the Lord when we live in rebellion to Him. We don't bring glory to God when we walk according to the lies of this world and are involved in the sinful acts, and sin is nothing more than rebellion to the authority and truth of God. When we are willing to embrace lies instead of truth, we don't bring glory to God. Jesus came and He died on the cross, yes, that we could be saved from hell. Yes, that we would not have to stand in before the great white throne judgments and hear the condemnation that was placed upon us to be placed into the lake of fire for eternity. We were saved to bring glory to God, and our salvation was to begin the moment that we were saved, and God desired that every man is saved as early as possible. You know, one of the big regrets that many people have when they become Christians later in life is, I wish I would have been saved earlier. I wish I could have come to the Lord earlier so that I could have served God and brought glory to His name. God wants to take us wherever we're at, and whether we're old or young and don't know Christ, He wants us to come to Christ. But He desires that we all come to Christ at an early age. He wants us to be saved the minute we have an understanding. And that's why Jesus said, when the disciples were trying to keep the children away from Him, and Jesus said to them, what? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Unless you have the faith of one of these, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is the faith of a child? They believe in the authority that is over them, and they believe the words they're hearing, and they follow those words and follow them according to what they are being taught. That is the faith of a child. And Jesus said that is the type of faith we have. We need to believe God's word and not any of the lies that are out there around that are being perpetrated trying to get us not to believe. Now, he goes on in verse 18, he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. The word of truth. It doesn't say that there are many truths. It doesn't say that there's another truth. It doesn't say that there are that men can come up with their own ideas that will parallel or usurp the authority of God. It says there is one truth, and that is bound in who? In God and His Word. Jesus said, I am the Word. He said that He came, John in his Gospel, refers to Jesus as the Word. The Word, the authority. The one that reveals to us who God is. When Jesus came to earth, He took on the form of a man. And in so doing, He revealed to the world, as He took on the form of a man, the very character of God and how that men were called to live. And He modeled that behavior for our world, and that He never rebelled against the Father. And He showed perfect obedience to the will of the Father as He walked on this earth. And He modeled that behavior for us. John says He was the Word. And he says that by Him, all things were created. By His Word, as we see in the book of Genesis, it says that according to the Word of God, He spoke and things came into being. That is the power of God's Word. And not only that, you can go back to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, it says, by the Word, God will come and Jesus will come and judge all things. You know, a lot of times the battle is revealed in the book of Revelation. It's you're seeing all the armies of the world gathering together against Jerusalem and against the Jewish people, the remnant of the Jews that are left. And it's you're seeing and thinking that there's going to be Jesus coming with his 10,000s of saints, and there's going to be this bloody battle that's going to occur. And there is a bloody battle that occurs, but it's by the word of His word that His enemies will be defeated. By the authority of His Word. And that is the Word that redeemed and saved us. That Word comes and it convicts men by the power of His Spirit in our hearts. His Word convicts us. And so we see here that He tells us that you and I have been saved. We've been redeemed because God desired and willed that you be redeemed. He established your redemption before the foundation of the earth, a means by which it would occur. He desired that all men be saved, and you're sitting here this morning because of the will of God. And it's because of God's Word being spoken, convicting you of your sin, and you turning to the Lord and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you're here this morning if you're a believer in Christ. And so, it is according to His Word. Now he goes on and he says, this Word is the Word of truth. Jesus, why did He say that in the last days, the greatest thing that we would be facing and would mark the fact that He was going to return soon would be the great deceptions that would come upon the face of the earth? It's because who is the author of lies? Satan. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the fact that Satan, there's going to come a day where he knows his time is short. I believe that day is today. I believe that's why you're seeing the things that you're seeing around our world today. Sin at an unparalleled level. Sin, then things happening in our nation that we've never, ever seen to this extent before, as long as I've been alive. They were just talking this morning, I was listening to a medical show, I was getting ready, and they were saying 25% of adults in America today have a serious sexually transmitted disease. 25% of our population. And that's just one of the diseases. And there's multiple diseases. You look at everything that's in our culture. There are individuals in our culture that are trying to divide wedges and promote hate and cause people to rise up and hate one another. Truth is laughed at and lies are embraced. You know, it's amazing to me. You've got people in Hollywood, the Scientologists, they teach the most bizarre things and people embrace it. They teach all kinds of strange doctrines. And Hollywood stars are embracing it. And I was reading this article that was written by Mark Cahill, and he's talking about Christians who have the truth. And the truth has set us free. Yet we're not willing to tell the truth to people. And he talked about how that in Hollywood, John Travolta is actively going out and promoting Scientology to try and convert people to Scientology. An absolute lie. If you wanted to make up a religion, you'd say that is nuts to even say that that would be a religion. But he's willing to go out and be an evangelist for it and a missionary for it. And we've got the truth. And that's what James is saying here. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by Satan that you have nothing to say. Don't be deceived by Satan that you have nothing to do. Don't be deceived by Satan that you are too small, too insignificant, too little to matter. Because you have the truth. And the truth has tremendous power. James is talking to a small group of Jewish believers. When we began this study in James, we talked about the fact that they had been scattered. There was a few of them that were left in Jerusalem, but a lot of them had already been scattered. And by 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem would be largely destroyed. The temple would be destroyed completely. There wouldn't be a stone standing upon another. And the people would be dispersed amongst the Roman Empire. And these Christians would be much like we are here today. A small group of believers. They didn't have mega churches when James wrote this book. They didn't have churches probably that had hundreds of people. They had churches. As you look at the Apostle Paul when he's going on his missionary journeys, and there are a number of small people that would oftentimes meet together. We have a picture of the church, one of the church groups that was meeting beside a river. Today, in some of the countries around the world where persecution is strong on believers, you've got people today that meet out in the trees. They don't dare meet in a home lest they be thrown in prison. So James writing to him, and these people are going, well, maybe we've made the wrong choice. Maybe we've gone the wrong way. Maybe we should have, the Jews, maybe we should have stayed and done what the temple worship. Those that have come out of paganism, maybe we should have stayed in paganism. And he's writing and he's saying, no, you have the truth. The truth. You possess that which men in the world who have been deceived by Satan do not possess. Do you realize that you've got the most precious gift of all? Because you know right from wrong, good from evil. You understand who God is and who His character is. His Spirit indwells you, so it gives you the ability to understand His Word and to see how that you are to live as His child. Do you realize that the person that's out there protesting, the person that's out there spewing hatred, the person that's out there doing all these wicked things in our world today, they don't possess that. They don't even have the ability to understand right from wrong because they are so deceived by their own wicked heart. And the only thing that will enable them to understand is the Spirit of God convicting them and opening up their eyes so they can see. And that they will yield to that conviction. We have that truth. If you're God's child today, you have something that the unbeliever does not have. Now, possessing the truth, do we have to fear? And that's really what a lot of this letter is written about. How should we live? A lot of people call the book of James kind of the Proverbs of the New Testament, because it gives us examples of how we're to live as God's people. And he's saying the first thing that you need to understand is the foundation that you've got to build your life and your character upon, and that is the truth which is found in Jesus Christ. The truth being that you were a sinner, and the truth being that the only way that you were saved was through the blood of Christ and the will of God to present that gospel to a lost and dying world. And there's a purpose. There's a purpose. First of all, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation. Now, James is speaking to a small group of believers when he's writing this letter, but God had him write this down and inspired it for us today. In the whole world, I don't know exactly how many billion people there are today in the world, but it's into the billions. And of that, true Bible-believing Christians are a small, small group. But Jesus said that in the midst of all of this darkness, because you've got literally into the billions of people that are rebelling against God, and you've got a small group of people that believe God's word, have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, are walking with Him, and desiring to be conformed to His image and reflecting His character, how do we accomplish His purpose? Jesus said, you're light and salt. You're light and salt. And then He gave the example, remember, He said, you don't take a light and put it up on a hill and then cover it. What was He saying there? As a Christian, as one who believes and knows the truth, you don't take the light that is within you and cover it so that the world can't see. But rather, in the midst of darkness, one little light will shine brightly. It'll shine brightly. When I was growing up, I remember on Sunday mornings before we go to church, there was a program on, and the way that they start the program was with one little light in the whole world will shine through the darkness. That was their theme song. And I forget the way the song exactly went, but I remember as a kid, they'd come on and there'd be this dark screen, and then they'd light this little candle, and this light would permeate, and you, all of a sudden, and then they'd come on with their theme song, and their theme was that you penetrated the world with the gospel. The light of the gospel. And that's how you penetrated the darkness. I want to tell you today, it's dark. It's bleak. But we have hope. And we have light. And we can penetrate the darkness with the gospel because we possess the truth and we know the truth is found in Jesus Christ. And we're a kind of first fruits too. God is going to use Christians to share the gospel with unbelievers that they may come to Christ. You know, it's amazing. You have the privilege of being a spiritual father, spiritual mother, of leading someone to Christ. Paul talks about the fact that in 1 Corinthians he was writing to the church at Corinth, and he said that Apollos and he agree on many things, and he says, but I want to tell you one thing. I am coming to you with the authority of your spiritual father, and I'm telling you this because they had gotten off track. And he was their spiritual father. We have that great authority in our life because we have the ability to lead people to Christ, to instruct them, to help them, to grow and mature in their faith. And you realize you wouldn't have been saved if somebody who wasn't saved hadn't shared the gospel with you. And we wouldn't be sitting here if down through the ages, since Jesus came and went to the cross and was put to death and was buried and rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, if we wouldn't have had witnesses to that effect that believed in what he had said and done and had told, and that people believed by faith as God's Spirit revealed this truth to them, this powerful truth that could set men free, and down through the ages, if they wouldn't have been there to proclaim it, we wouldn't be sitting here today. But this little light penetrated all the darkness. You know, it's amazing. You look at the scriptures, and one of the things you see, there's been many times in the history of the world that's been very dark. But God's always had a light to shine. Those who believe the truth. Go back to the time of Noah. You know, you stop and you think about Noah. You think it was easy for Noah? And that he is questioning, am I believing this is right? Should I be deceived into following the lies that are around here? Because everybody else is believing it. It says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. How would you like to have had Noah's job? Noah preached for over 100 years. Preached righteousness. Preached the fact that the judgment was coming. Preached the fact that God was going to judge the whole world. He was going to judge it with a flood that would cover the whole earth. And they'd never even seen a rainstorm. And everybody would come and they'd mock Noah while he preached. Until the first raindrops started coming. Until Noah got the animals in the ark. And Noah got his family in the ark. And it says the Lord closed the ark's door. Noah didn't pull it shut, but God pulled it shut, because God determined there was no man on earth who was going to believe the truth and follow Noah into the ark except him and his family. But there had to be days where Noah questioned. And there had to be days that Noah said, I'm looking here and am I the only one? But he kept preaching the word and believing, because it's the truth. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah was commissioned as a young man to be a prophet. And it's an interesting commission that God gave him. He told him to eat the Word of God. And it would be sweet to his tongue and bitter in his stomach. And Jeremiah did it, and that's exactly what it was. And then he told Jeremiah, I want you to take this word and I want you to preach it to the nation of Israel. And I want you to call them to repentance and to follow me. I want you to present the truth to them. The truth that they are going to be led into captivity unless they walk in obedience to me. The truth that judgment is coming. The truth that these things are happening. But Jeremiah, I want to tell you this one little thing. Nobody's going to believe you. And nobody's going to listen to you. But I still want you to go. And I want you to preach the truth. Do you think that Jeremiah at times questioned? When he's preaching the truth? But the days would come when he would be challenged. I think of towards the end of Jeremiah's life, the Babylonians were preparing to come and they've been invading Israel. And they were going to come for one of the last invasions. And the Israelites were thinking, well, what should we do? And the Lord comes to Jeremiah and he says, tell them not to flee from the Babylonians and do not go to Egypt. But remain in Israel. If you go to Egypt, judgment's coming that's going to be worse than just being taken away into Babylon. And Jeremiah tells that to the people. And they don't listen. This is the same people that went to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, can you get a word from God for us? Because we realize we're in a tough spot here. And we're thinking we should go to Egypt because the Babylonians are coming. And the Egyptians, they've got a strong army. And maybe they could defend us and help us. What should we do, Jeremiah? Go to the Lord and find out. Jeremiah goes to the Lord and says, stay here. Don't go to Egypt. Above all, whatever you do, don't go to Egypt. And the first thing out of their mouth is, thank you, Jeremiah, but we're going to Egypt. And not only are we going to Egypt, we want to take you with us. What would you done to your Jeremiah? Would you give it up? Quit telling the truth? God had spoken. Nobody believed but Jeremiah. He never stopped believing, no matter what they did to him. And they did some awful things to him, because he possessed the truth. The truth is what sets men free. In our culture today, you've got a whole bunch of people spouting lies. I heard something that greatly disturbed me on the radio. In our city, there's a young person that is so excited because they found out that they can determine that they don't have to be the gender that they're created as. And they've been struggling with this their whole life, and now they found out they can, I don't know if it was a girl that wanted to be a boy or a boy that wanted to be a girl, whatever. And they're going to have the gay lesbian pride parade, I think it might even be today, I don't know. And they're proclaiming this as truth. My Bible says God created a male and female. He created them. And God will set men free from the lies of Satan and from the deception. But we can't believe it. Yet you've got many churches today that are capitulating and saying, oh, well, if you want to believe that, we're not going to condemn you for it. We're not going to say anything bad about it. Just go ahead and believe that. That doesn't set them free. That enslaves them to the lie the rest of their lives. Can you imagine? Given the example before, but it's an apropos example. If a doctor had developed a cure for cancer, and he had a patient that came to him, and the doctor diagnosed this man had cancer. Not only had cancer, but he probably had very little time to live. And the man comes to the doctor, and the cure is sitting right on the doctor's shelf. All he's got to do is take it off and give it to the man, and the man's cancer would be gone. And the man comes in and he says, doctor, what did the test say? What is my problem? Oh, you don't have any problem. I just go out and live your life and enjoy it as much as you can, because you really don't have a problem. There's no real sickness there, because I don't want to tell that person that they're sick and dying and they're facing death. And even though I've got the cure, I don't want to give it to him, because I don't want to seem to be hurtful. I don't want to hurt their feelings, make them feel bad. We've got the cure to sin, the truth of God. And the world is constantly spewing lie after lie after lie, and people gobble it up, and we've got the truth that can set men free. And James is telling us, don't be deceived. Understand the will of God is that men be saved by His Word in the truth, and that truth being the gospel of Jesus Christ, a means by which salvation comes. Are we willing to take that and proclaim that truth? As I said, this is really, in many ways, called the book that written to the church, which is similar to Proverbs, because it's not, a lot of ways, you can't just go, it's not organized like Paul's gospel or letters are, but it possesses tremendous wisdom and reveals to us how we're to live. This afternoon we're going to be taking a look at what it means to walk in the Word and how we live our lives to be light and proclaim this truth. May we leave here today understanding the tremendous gift that each one of us as a believer has. That is, we possess the truth of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God because of the forgiveness of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is. And may we share that with others that they may know. Because it's God's will that we do. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand this truth. And Lord, help us to be light and salt in the midst of darkness. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.